School Volunteers for Boston was born into a challenging and complex political landscape, and relied on the optimism and determination of its volunteers. It stands to reason, therefore, that its earliest leaders would be people of great social awareness, know-how, and conviction. Isabel Biesecker, the second executive director of our organization, now known as Boston Partners in Education, encapsulated all of these qualities. She had, as one Boston Globe columnist put it, a knack for connecting a need to a resource. She was well-loved by her staff and well-known among the business elite.
She cared about issues, and she was outspoken and loved at the same time. But I think, for me, she also really was a model of women doing things professionally outside of the house.
This is Donna Biesecker, Isabel's daughter.
She loved the ocean. Loved the ocean. And for years and years and years, she and my dad rented this place down in Duxbury for the summer. And they didn't stay there all summer, but, you know, would go there weekends, whatever. And she loved entertaining. She loved the ocean. I thought it was kind of cool that my mom did these really important things. And, you know, we did, we managed and all that. So, she was engaging, she was opinionated, always knew a wide range of people, and over time she became very involved in social justice issues. I really do remember feeling like, boy, my mother does something cool. You know, she goes off to work and she has stories to tell. And I felt different. I didn't have any friends whose mothers did that. But I sort of thought it was neat. And I think it was because I heard stories and learned something.
Donna described her mother as someone ahead of her time, someone whose viewpoints didn't necessarily coincide with the people she worked with. Nevertheless, her natural disposition of respect and willingness to listen to other viewpoints enamored others of her and made her calls to action all the more persuasive.
Exactly. Yes. And even, you know, when she could get people to give money who really didn't think about the universe the same way as she did. And she loved that. And despite all of her politics, when she went to D.C. for their annual meeting, she got her picture taken with Barbara Bush, because Barbara Bush at that point was pushing literacy. And, you know, my mother and Barbara's politics weren't exactly the same, but she loved, you know, doing with Barbara and having her picture taken and all of that good stuff. And I think that she could have real differences with people, but there was mutual respect, even if the other party didn't come over to her side.
That willingness to compromise extended to her parenting as well.
Also, what mattered just as much was being open-minded and curious and working hard at whatever I chose to do. She had strong opinions, and I had strong opinions growing up, and we didn't always agree, but it didn't feel, it felt like it was okay. There was permission to disagree, even though there may have been, you know, in the moment, some sense of who had the higher ground. So I think social justice was really through both of my parents jointly, and I think that was important. It was from her. We grew up with that. Sat around the dinner table with people recently released from Walpole State Prison. And at Thanksgiving, we had all, you know, we had family, and then we had all, you know, it was a few interesting people that didn't come from our community or whatever, and I learned an enormous amount from those folks.
Isabel was the kind of person that is so sought after today. She was someone with a cause that transcends politics, someone whose agenda was informed by a belief in helping others. That genuine motivation, which is probably what made her into such a convincing leader and advocate for SVB, came from a lifetime in studying social work.
In the 50s, she and my dad both became involved in the civil rights struggles. And I think it really was out of that, and then my dad leaving his chemistry world, where he was a chemist by training and profession. He went back to graduate school in social work at BC when I was like in middle school. Mm-hmm. And so around that time, he changed careers and got involved with inner city stuff. Mm-hmm. Through him, in some ways, she also got connected to the inner city and mm-hmm. was the director of a volunteer program for this City Mission Society. And she and my dad actually directed a summer camp in Lincoln, Massachusetts for families mm-hmm. who were on welfare to get out of the city and go for a couple of weeks. And it really, I think, gave my mother a very clear sense about what everyday life was in mm-hmm. the inner city through these people that she came to love and loved her and whatever. It was just, you know. So she was the director volunteer for that program. And I know that then, as when she came to what was called School Volunteers for Boston mm-hmm. at the time, one of her concerns was volunteers not be these rich white ladies from the suburbs, that there be a diversity of people mm-hmm. and not just people who were privileged. Mm-hmm. That wasn't the big word of the day then, but that's essentially what it was. Mm-hmm. So I know when she came here, that was an outright goal of hers, to diversify the paid staff of school mm-hmm. volunteers, and then to engage the community in doing volunteer work. Mm-hmm. She didn't want people to just kind of volunteer because yeah. it was the right thing to do.
Yeah.
I think she wanted them to volunteer because it could make a difference. I think, again, there was part of her that wanted to minimize the paternalism of it all, mm-hmm. that we and them, that, you know, sort of as a society, as a community, we need to educate all of our people and have top grade education.
Her history with other volunteer organizations and churches actually helped her find staff for SVB. Kathy Boblis, for example, would become one of Boston Partners' longest and most devoted employees, largely due to her connection with Isabel.
Yeah, I knew Isabel back in 1950. I met her back in 1957, her and her husband, and I was a counselor at a camp that she and her husband were running. And before she came to School Volunteers for Boston, she worked for a City Missionary Society in Boston, and she was sort of like the director of volunteers for that. And these were programs run through churches, and they were volunteer programs. She really made it what it was. And you know, she was wonderful with the volunteers and knew how to organize the volunteers. And she actually started a big fundraising program, and practically every project we wrote a grant for, we would get.
Wow.
And the Boston Foundation funded us for quite a few years on just about every project we did. And Isabel was great at that. She was great at fundraising. She was great with people. I look upon her sort of like an alternate mother, really. She's like my mother. I felt like she was my mother. You know, what else can I say? I don't know. She was great at public relations. She was great at fundraising. She was wonderful with the volunteers. So she knew what to do.
Mike Redding, also recruited by Isabel, remained with the organization for decades.
I was approached by Isabel Biesecker, who actually checked with all of the churches in town because she wanted to identify people who would like to be library volunteers. I was so impressed with Isabel. She really knew what she was doing. I think she worked for the City Mission Society for mm-hmm. a long time, and before that, I think she had been a teacher. And boy, she was somebody who would be like a terrific principal of a high school. You know, she really, really, you know, knew what she was doing. But one thing about Isabel, she was so powerful in her own special way, and mm-hmm. she had the most amazing people on the board, you know, like one guy who was like a top executive at the Hancock Building,
mm-hmm.
and other top executives all over the place, mm-hmm. and she just was able to do that.
I believe that she really, I think it probably had started, but the affiliation with corporations and big business, that was a part of what she really developed, I think, mm-hmm. as well as those other issues. And she loved the wheeling and dealing, and I remember her, you know, and again, this was not at a time when lots of women, there were plenty of women in the workforce, but, you know, EDs and whatever, I didn't know very many. And she, I love listening to her stories about, you know, working with John Hancock and the CEO and the this and the that. And, you know, she was very compelling in her description about the mission and wanted people to get it.
Well, Isabel was quite a character, okay? For some reason, she took a liking to me.
This is Sandra McIntosh, another former employee.
And she would take me with her on her fundraising ventures. Isabel was, she was blonde, you know, dyed blonde, of course, because by her age, she probably had gray hair.
Uh-huh.
But I never saw gray hair. She was always blonde. She had blue eyes. And the thing that was most interesting about her, when I would go with her to these fundraising trips, is watching her in action. I used to like to watch her in action. She knew how to play men.
Uh-huh.
Oh, yeah, she knew how to play men. She bat those blue eyes, look up at them and smile. Every year, of course, they gave out these big awards to these different insurance companies or people that sponsored them. I know New England Mutual was one, John Hancock. I remember one day we went to a fundraiser at a house in Brookline. I really wish I knew who lived in this house because it was the most fascinating house I've ever seen. It was one of those circular driveways and the cab pulled up and Isabel and I got up. The butler was at the door. You go in, the maids walk around with the hors d'oeuvres on the tray. The guy took us down in to show us his underground in-ground pool in his den and all encased in glass. And so when you look out, all you can see was forest.
These connections grew to be extremely important to the survival of SVB. When a fire broke out and destroyed the offices on Arlington Street, it was the connections that Isabel had made which ensured that SVB's mission could continue.
You know, it was a traumatic event. And then I remember the aftermath of that because of her good relations. I believe it was with folks in the Prudential Center, and John Hancock may have been there then, that they said, here, we'll give you some offices. And, you know, that was no small feat, I think, because, you know, your office burns down and you're a nonprofit. You're not, you know, where are you going to go? You know, the fire was absolutely traumatic. But I think there was a kind of triumph that the organization survived in a not just physical way.
But it wasn't anything that we were able to, you know, with the help of Prudential Insurance Company, John Hancock Insurance Company, and then the Episcopal Diocese of Massachusetts, who took us in and into that St. Paul Cathedral. But we didn't miss a beat. You know, Mrs. Bush came to visit us there at the cathedral. The business community, the insurance companies, the banks, they were all wonderful to us.
So we ended up going into the Hancock Building. We were given that space to use for 6 months on the 47th floor. And that's what we did. And we regrouped there. And then we just left ourselves. We just followed Isabel's lead.
That's as good a line to end on as any, because Isabel's talent for linking the needs of her community to the resources that can best help them is something Boston Partners has strived to emulate to this day. Though she would retire in the same year that the fire on Arlington would prove her value, we're still following Isabel's lead.